Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the show that never ends. This is With All Dude Respect. My name is Jim Ellis, co-host of With All Dude Respect, and I'm here with my co-host. He's on the East Coast. I'm on the West Coast. Hello, Mr. Rick Wright. How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing there, Jimmy?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Doing a lot of busy work, a lot of good work. I'm actually producing a show up in Oceanside, so I'm doing a lot of work on that. It's a TV talk show. Check that out.
That is cool.
It's like, yeah, it's just like when you ask what's going on, my whole brain is just filled with that show. It's like, because it's coming up. We're filming next week. So, that's what's going on. I mean, there's a lot of different things. I wanted to just tell our audience just in the beginning and then maybe towards the end how they can get a hold of us in case they hear this on a different vibe, a different station. So if you go to Facebook, yes, Facebook, you've all heard of it. You go there and you type in search these words, With All Dude Respect. Type that in, find us, like our page, so you can kind of follow what we're doing, what we're talking about. This is the show that asks the age-old question, what the hell is going on? So, I don't know. I just kind of made that up. But anyway, what the hell is going on with you, Rick? There he is.
What's going on with me?
Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm just... Yeah, life is good. You know, I always say I can't complain and I won't complain. I really, just a good solid week, good solid work week, good solid, the weather's been sort of iffy here off and on, but it's okay. Like, I'm in a really, really good space.
Cool.
And it's been a good week. It's my wife's birthday on Monday.
That's right. Cool.
So it's like a birthday weekend, and
nice.
We're going out. Matter of fact, right after this call, we're going to head to a local place we go to and have a nice meal, just chill out. And tomorrow I'm riding, and then I'll be great day. I'll be out riding, so it's just a good, it's a good solid day, man.
Cool. Well, we're going to bring in this is one of the few times, every once in a while, we'll have a guest on our show. So our guest is in the queue here. So I wanted to ask you first, before we bring him on, I'll do an introduction, but the show has to do with something called tapping or the emotional freedom technique. Now, have you done that before? Have you said you've worked with that?
There was a woman who was into like a lot of cool things. Like she was like in a lot of self-discovery stuff, and she started doing it and told me about it. So of course, you know, I went online, checked out YouTube, and I sat down and I did it a couple times. It just didn't stick with me. I don't know I'm open to trying it again. To be honest, back then it was just like, I was sitting there and I was doing it. And I said, man, if I had like a video of myself doing this, I would, you know, I'd probably be like really like laughing at myself, you know, sitting here tapping on my face and my head and, you know, all these different things. So I just thought that, you know, was sort of, you know, I wasn't really feeling it. And it felt like a little funny. But again, of course, I didn't do any of the, you know, the background or what the, you know, I got some ideas of what it was and what it, you know, what it can do. And, you know, I know there's some people that swear by it, so it's pretty cool. Yeah. I know you you tap, right?
Yes, I've been doing it for a while now, and that's why I'm so happy to have our guests on the show. So we're going to delve a little bit more into it. So I want to bring them on now. I'm going to do a little introduction. So Dawson Church, PhD, he's an award-winning author whose best-selling book, The Genie in Your Genes, has been hailed by reviewers as a breakthrough in our understanding of the link between emotions and genetics. He founded the National Institute for Integrative Healthcare, to study and implement promising evidence-based psychological and medical techniques. Something I love about him, he's very, you know, his background's in science and research and things like that. So his groundbreaking research has been published in prestigious scientific journals. He's the editor of Energy Psychology, Theory, Research, and Treatment, a peer-reviewed professional journal. He's a blogger for the Huffington Post, on and on. And if you want to get a hold of him, you can. There's actually a gift, I think, available here. www.dawsongift.com. Dawsongift.com. So, yeah, so I just let's go ahead and bring on Mr. Church. How are you doing there,
Rick
Dawson?
And Jim, good to be here.
Awesome.
Welcome.
So great to have you. Now, I got to say something that's interesting. It's a little known fact. It's kind of a little fun thing my wife and I are aware of. In 1989, I wrote a book. It's called Starting Point. I wrote a book, and it mentions a gentleman named Dawson Church. It was the author of The Heart of the Healer, and I quoted him in this book in 1989. It says, exactly. I quoted this quote, "The interest of the new healer is life, and what is that? And what it is that leads to a greater abundance of life. Gone is the fixation on disease, which is merely the result of the blockage of that innate energy. The vision is instead of what makes people well." I so love this quote that almost 30 years ago I put that quote in, and lo and behold, years later, Dawson Church is a client of my wife's because you know she books him and speaking engagements and all this other stuff. So I guess you've been on the path for a while now, Mr. Church, huh? I mean, how's that been? How's that path been for you?
Well, it's been full of adventures. It's been full of surprises. It's been full of synchronicities, like that one you just mentioned. And it's interesting, when you do get onto this path individually, when you do align yourself with your life mission and with healing, one of the things that tends to happen is synchronicities. So there are lots and lots and lots of them that occur. And it's exciting to see them popping up all over the place. So, yeah, I've been on it for a long time. Since I was about 15 years old, I joined an ashram. I began to meditate. I learned various kinds of healing techniques in my teens. And now, of course, what's very different is that all of those techniques like meditation, tapping, and mindfulness are all evidence-based. And we know now what happens in the body and the mind when you do them, and we now can map exactly what's happening to people when they practice these techniques. So that's the big new thing that's happened in the last 30 years.
Awesome. Can you, for our audience, can you just define the emotional freedom technique, so EFT, some people know it as tapping, and just to give us a general idea of what that exactly is and what it does.
Well, it's called tapping because with EFT, you tap with your fingertips on acupuncture points, and there are about 360 acupoints all over the body. They use acupuncture, of course, but there are 14 key points, and they're the end points of the acupuncture meridians. These meridians are flows of energy in our body, and they're easy to measure as well. And back in the time when they were first being recorded, 2,000 to 5,000 years ago, people intuited where they were, but those intuitions turned out to be very accurate. Now when we put a sophisticated modern device like a galvanometer on people's skin, we find that we can measure those acupressure points, and they're exactly where those old 2,000-year-old manuscripts told us they would be. So we have people put pressure on those by tapping. We also have them remember bad things that happened to them while they do that. And the combination of the soothing influence of tapping with the memory of the bad event tends to produce a shutdown in the part of the brain responsible for emotions. So fear, anger, shame, guilt, and so on, all of those negative emotions tend to go away when we tap and remember the bad stuff that happened to us. And so MRI studies now, EEG studies, very sophisticated modern techniques are showing us exactly what happens in the brain. And when those changes happen in the brain, when those emotional parts of the brain change, then big changes happen in the body as well. Our cortisol goes down, our adrenaline goes down, a whole bunch of cellular processes driven by stress hormones and neurotransmitters also changes. Two studies I've been writing about just in the last week One showed that when you are stressed and have a rise in adrenaline and cortisol, that those stress hormones literally are turning off enzymes that kill cancer cells. So our bodies have an amazing set of resources to deal with cancer and cancerous tissue, cancerous cells. And what happens is when we have a rise in adrenaline and cortisol, the enzymes that are responsible for targeting and killing those cells get shut down. There's a biochemical way of interfering with their action that happens when people are stressed. So a lot of evidence now showing that many hormones, many enzymes, and many genes are affected by tapping, and that's the way it works.
Hmm. So should I call you doctor?
Call me Dawson.
Can I call you doctor? Dawson. All right, great. So Dawson, that's great. So I'm going to say that it's probably, I'm going to ask the question, is it cumulative? Like, I'm assuming that you have to do it for a certain time or certain times of the day or a certain amount of time. What is the protocol for, the usual protocol for, amount of times? I meditate, so I meditate every day.
Yes.
But I don't, I meditate once a day. I've heard that you have to, you're supposed to meditate twice a day, 20 minutes a time, If there's certain schools, what works for me is, the amount of time that I do it and and I pretty much do it every day. So what would be the protocol for the tapping?
Yeah, and I meditate every morning for usually about 40 minutes to an hour just because it feels so good. So it's not like I'm trying to meditate or wanting to meditate or having to push myself to meditate. What we're finding now, again, in research is that huge number of biochemical changes happen in your body when you meditate. And so after a while, you get used to feeling that good, and so you're predisposed to repeat the experience that makes you feel that good every day. So meditation, I think, is the foundation of a peaceful life. What tapping does is it releases stress that you have in the present moment and also helps you deal with old stresses. Just this week, actually, Kaiser Permanente has a journal. Kaiser Permanente is a huge healthcare hospital system in the U.S. It has over 10 million people it takes care of, 10 million patients subscribe to Kaiser services. And just this week, the Permanente Journal published a set of practice guidelines. These are what psychologists read, psychiatrists read, nurses, doctors, psychotherapists. People rely on practice guidelines for answering those kinds of questions, how many sessions. And the practice guidelines, I actually was the author of those practice guidelines for the Kaiser Permanente Journal. And what they recommend is for full-blown PTSD, that's the Vietnam veteran who's having flashbacks and nightmares, motor vehicle accident victim, the rape victim, the assault victim, people who have serious trauma, people who have PTSD symptoms, like flashbacks, nightmares, what we find is that it's not a one-day or a one-minute thing. We recommend that they get 10 sessions if they have full-blown PTSD and 5 sessions if they have PTSD symptoms but without all of the full diagnosis. And so 5 to 10 sessions usually is sufficient to deal with PTSD. We find in research that people who go and get 5 to 10 sessions, when they leave those 5 to 10 sessions, they no longer have that high level of PTSD symptoms. And so several randomized controlled trials have shown that. It also really helps with symptoms of anxiety, depression, phobias, and we haven't done practice guidelines for those. Depends usually on the person and also the severity of the condition. Somebody with major depressive disorder, for example, I don't think one session of anything is going to fix them. People with a lifetime habit of anxiety, one friend of mine at a conference said, I've had low level anxiety my entire life. I'm always anxious. So can we tap with them for one session and have it go away? Maybe. But we usually recommend he do some really deep work in his childhood, and it might take that same length of time, 5 to 10 sessions, to release that constant anxiety. But the research does show that for major depressive disorder, for substance abuse, for being overweight, and all of the complex of issues that is associated with being overweight, EFT is extremely effective for all of these things, and it usually takes a course of sessions with an experienced practitioner to make progress. Although you can make some progress usually, especially on simple things like phobias, just tapping on yourself. So it's a self-help method, but for serious life problems, we recommend you see a therapist or a coach and get a series of EFT sessions.
Dawson, you said something really interesting to me. I don't want to go too far from it. You said for people who have the habit of anxiety. What did you mean by that?
Well, there was that's feeling a level of tension all day, every day. And there's nothing necessarily wrong. Like the guy who said that he had low-level anxiety every day, he was in his 60s, and he was extremely successful. He's a really, really well-known transformational leader. And his life looks perfect from the outside, but he's got this low-level anxiety. And one of the really surprising studies that came out in the last few years was published in the British Medical Journal in 2012, and it looked at people with various kinds of mental health complaints like anxiety and depression. And we knew that it would show that people with major mental health disorders like that have shorter lifespans. It really takes a toll on your health, and it means you die a lot sooner. So the research on that is just unambiguous, clear in many, many studies. But this is a study of 68,000 adults, and it found, to everyone's surprise, that mild anxiety so mild that you never even think of going to see a psychologist or a therapist or a doctor about it, just mild anxiety, over the course of the six-year study, they found that over the course of that 6 years, people who had even mild anxiety had a 20% higher death rate than those that had no anxiety. So what we're finding is that even that waking up and feeling vaguely uneasy about your life and the world, to where you don't have crippling anxiety, but you have a level of anxiety that is liable to have an effect on your health. So many people have that sort of low-level anxiety, and that can really take a toll long-term.
Yeah. So I want to give the audience...
Go ahead. Yeah, can I just, Jimmy, I just want to...
Yes.
But you specifically used the word habit. So what I'm, I'm trying to get... So anxiety. So I'm getting, because I'm a student of the brain, and I'm really just getting so fascinated into it. And so, are you saying that these behaviors, like anxiety, is like someone can get it and then it becomes a habit?
Rick, you have a habit of being Rick Ross. Habit of being Jim Ellis. I have a habit of being Dawson Church. We all have habits of being ourselves. And so what happens is that these beginner's behaviors, certain things happen in your childhood, and as those things unfold in your childhood, you develop certain beliefs about the world, about yourself, about other people, and those are beliefs. They often are actually untrue beliefs, but they are beliefs, and so you have these. Now, we have these thoughts and these beliefs, and what they are, in a sense, is they are the activity of fields and molecules passing through neural pathways in your brain. And so when you think that thought, especially a thought you think every day, the way you keep on being Rick Wright every single day, when you have those thoughts over and over and over again, you wake up and you think, I think this about the world, I think this about other people, I think this about my body, about my life, about my money, about my whatever it might be. So you have that thought every day, and those thoughts, which initially, again, are electrical impulses traveling through neural pathways in your brain, if you have those thoughts over and over and over and over again, if they're part of your fundamental way of thinking, they then start to become neural pathways, and those neural pathways reinforce themselves. In my book, The Genie in Your Genes, I talk about research that shows that if you pass a signal through a neural pathway over and over and over again for an hour, just 1 hour, you can double the number of synaptic connections in that neural pathway. So imagine if you've been having the habit of being Rick Wright for 30 years. Now you've been doing that, thinking that same thought about the world, about people, about your body, about your mind, about how good you are, all of these, the set of beliefs. You've had this habit of being yourself now for decades, and these are very strongly entrenched neural pathways. You've been developing, you've been building them up over and over and over again. So those now are habits, and they aren't habits just in terms of behaviors. They're habits in terms of a neural network. So now you have a near experience maybe you don't really trust people that much. Just I'm not saying you have that problem, but maybe you have a little bit of distrust of people. Okay, so you now have been practicing that for a long time. It's part of your neural network. Maybe you've lived in a wonderfully safe, happy, supportive community for 5 years, and you still have this mistrust of people. And what has happened is that you've had no experience that suggests the world is peopled with unsafe folks around you. But because you now have this very strongly conditioned neural network to see the world that way, you perceive everything coming into you from the environment through that filter. And so even when new experiences happen that don't confirm what you believe, that doesn't shift your beliefs because you have this strongly conditioned neural network that has this, you have hardware in your brain that is hardwired to see the world that way. And so that's the habit of being ourselves. We all have this habit of being ourselves. And the challenge is to let go of the dysfunctional worldviews, the things we learned as children that just aren't true, and then to implement positive ones. So meditation can give us inner peace, can give us inner stability, but it takes EFT, it takes tapping to really bring up, dredge up those bad things that happened in the past. Maybe when you were 5, this happened to somebody in one of my workshops. I was doing a live workshop, and this woman who's now a therapist, when she was 5 years old, her brother, they'd been playing together one day, and her brother, who was 2 years older than her, lay on top of her and held her down so she couldn't move, and she almost blacked out. So she had this experience, which, although seemed very fleeting, only took a few seconds, it really affected her. And so she's been jumpy, she's been afraid, she's been unsure of herself, she's been uncertain of her place in the world, she's been on the hyper alert, hyper vigilant for harm from other people now for 40 years. And so she's been repeating these patterns based on early childhood experiences. EFT can go in and have you work on those. When she tapped on that bad experience at 5, suddenly she had a complete shift in the way she saw the event. And she said, you know, I was so resourceful. I survived my brother. I survived my childhood. I survived my parents. So suddenly, same event, different life frame. And now she's no longer repeating the signaling through those same neural pathways. Now her brain begins to change. And that's the way EFT can change the habit of being yourself, implement and install new positive self-concepts and self-beliefs, and help you escape from your old neural conditioning.
Wow. Yeah, one of the analogies that I use, or the examples I use, is if you ever come across anyone, normally it's females, but you know, it could be anyone, I guess, who has a certain belief about their body. Like certain women have certain conditioning where they think they're fat, and you know, they get certain disorders where, you know, bulimia and things like that, where it doesn't matter what's happening in the world or what they actually physically look like. Their minds have been conditioned to believe they're fat and they have to keep losing weight. That's the example I give as far as like belief systems and how it can, you know, not even reflect reality sometimes, but the reality that you're creating. I want to ask a question.
I've actually done a keynote speech at the International Association of Eating Disorders twice. And often bulimics, you look at them and they're thin. I mean, they're really, in fact, they're unhealthy thin, and yet they still believe they're fat. And so it really, that's an extreme example, but we all have beliefs about the world, about each other, about our bodies, about our minds, about aging, about members of the opposite gender. I mean, we have all of these beliefs, and they're just beliefs. They're not really facts. They're just constructs in our minds, but we keep on acting as though the facts, and when we act as though the facts, we perpetuate them. So we can live a whole life and never figure out who we actually are, what our potential is. Only when we tap and let go of all that old picture of the past. So in my book, The EFT Manual, I have a whole chapter called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, because you have to feel that urge to be yourself and then say, no, I'm going to be this new person. I'm choosing to be this highest version of me, and I'm not going to say that mean thing. I'm not going to flip someone off on the road. I'm not going to treat my kid or my pet or my husband or my wife that way. I'm going to be the person I believe I can be. And you have to keep on repeating. Now, if you repeat that over and over and over again, if you repeat the new behavior despite the pull of your hardware, your neural network, to try and make you into the old person, you can break the spell. EFT can release you from the emotional tension in that situation, break the spell. Then you can choose to be yourself and be a much grander, bigger, more magnificent self than you would be if you stayed trapped in an old version of who you are.
Yeah. I've been working on this individually for a few months now with certain affirmations. And so the way I do it, and I want to hear like how a session would actually go, but the way I've been doing it is I sit still, I'm in a meditative state, and then I'm doing the tapping on the certain parts of, you know, forehead and the heart. Mostly the heart and, you know, different parts up where I guess it's designed. And I'm working on affirmations to change the hardware in my brain around finances. And I've been, you know, up and down with finances in my life, but it's been really tough lately. So I do that individually. Now, what would a session with a professional do, and how would that look, and what would that be like?
Well, I will predict that your beliefs about money have absolutely nothing to do about money. And I know this because I teach a workshop called Tapping Money Miracles. I've worked with, I don't know, hundreds of people around on money issues. And the issue is never the issue. Money is, never once has money been the actual issue. Always is an underlying issue, usually a childhood issue. And it usually has to do with lack, scarcity, or some sense of not being worthy. But it stems from childhood. And money is just the current situation, the current substance onto which we project those old childhood deficits. And so you can project them onto relationships, onto food, onto money, onto spirituality. You can project them into a whole bunch of different places. But to really shift, you have to quit projecting, and you have to go back to your childhood, find those events, and then tap on them, release all the emotional tension in them. Now, what happens when people do that is their story around money totally changes. I worked with a therapist at one of my workshops at Esalen Institute about a year and a half ago, and she had this belief that, I'd lost my savings in the 2007 crash, B, I'm in my 60s, there won't be enough for me to retire on, and C, there certainly will not be enough for me if I live a long time. So those were her beliefs. Now, these were, you know, you look at those beliefs, and those are pretty rational belief. She did lose her savings in the 2007 crash. She is in her 60s. She has to worry about retirement. So you say, you know, on the face of it, well, those are all true beliefs. So why even bother tapping on them? Because they're facts. We tapped on them. I wish to tune into her body, and she discovered three childhood events around herself, her sense of place in the world, her sense of worth. We tapped on those, and she then told a completely different story about money. She said, you know, actually, I'm pretty well situated. And she began to tell this whole story about money. And me and everyone else were sitting there and in the workshop in the room saying, huh? What just changed there? But we changed her. We never tapped on any of her current beliefs. We only tapped on her childhood, and her whole frame around her present reality shifted.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But the actual session with a professional would be different, because I got a feeling that a professional like you would be able to guide and then know that maybe after you, don't you guide a little bit more than what I'm doing with this just specific affirmations, you know?
You know, oddly enough, we don't. We actually train people in our workshops to not guide people. We find that when people tap, so much wisdom emerges within them that a lot of our training, especially for therapists, is don't do the therapy you've been doing for the last 30 years. You don't need to, because the wisdom, the intuition, the sense of potential that emerges from within your client organically, spontaneously, from within their own worldview and neural network is far more powerful than the most brilliant ideas you as a therapist are going to come up with. So oddly enough, one of our mottos in EFT training is less is more. We don't have people do a lot of directed tapping. In those therapy sessions or in coaching sessions with practitioners, often the practitioner, now they're giving you a little bit of guidance. Usually it's toward your childhood, toward your past. They do a lot less in terms of directing than a traditional therapist would do, because we find people have enormous wisdom inside of them. They just don't know how to access it.
Wow. Hey, Dawson, thank you very much for that. Jim, do you want to wrap it up and give Dawson some information out on Dawson?
Yeah, well, definitely. So DawsonGift.com, that's one website, Dawson, D-A-W-S-O-N, Gift, G-I-F-T.com. That's one place to find you. Is that like the number one place, Dawson, if others want to reach out to you?
That's the best place because it has a free download of the EFT mini manual. You can download the manual and try it yourself. So the free download is there. A whole bunch of other stuff there too, like practitioner listings and information about our relationships course. But that's the main website, yeah, DawsonGift.com.
All right, so audience,
excellent.
Definitely check that out. I mean, you know, obviously 30 minutes is not going to do it. What we could do, we just kind of like touched in on there, so to speak, touched in on some tapping,
yeah.
Some
so
of the
fast.
Possibilities that are available. I have one last quick question, but before I do that, I just want to say to reach us, again, With All Dude Respect on Facebook, just go to Facebook, With All Dude Respect. And speaking of dudes, okay, so we're all men, and I just had a question about, for men, is there specific topics or issues or anything that you would talk directly to men about in regards to the healing work that you do?
Well, my men's group asked me to do EFT with the whole group a while back, and I actually wanted to do it because we'd had 3 men in a men's group commit suicide within like 4 years, and no one knew these guys were suffering. And it was so interesting. They all looked pretty functional from the outside. One of them was the leader of the men's group, and he looked like he already had it made. You know, he had a great business. He had a good career. He was healthy. And what nobody knew, he was so depressed, he wound up slitting his wrists in the bath. And, I mean, we were just absolutely shocked. So I worked with the men's group, taught them all tapping. We formed a buddy system, and that was to connect with anyone when you, with at least one other man, when you felt a sense of desperation or despair, because we find that men, women tend to chat. If they feel bad, the whole world knows about it. If a guy feels bad, he goes in his cave and isolates. And so the crucial thing for men is to counteract the tendency. I know I do the same thing myself with my wife. If I feel bad, I go away into the woods.
Yeah.
So for men, the crucial thing is pretend you're a woman, blab, find a buddy, find somebody, find a therapist, find a coach, find a helpline, and
gotcha.
While you talk, tap, talk about all the stuff that's bothering you, and tap while you do it. So that's the main thing for men, is to don't isolate, because isolation is what reinforces those bad habits of being yourself to the point where you eventually may do away with yourself or harm yourself or certainly not live up to your potential. So since I did that 5 years ago, there have been no suicides, no major events in the men's group since then. Very, very powerful to
Great.
Learn to tap and take care of your past.
Awesome.
Excellent. Cool.
All right. Well,
Jim,
thank
you, Dawson,
so much.
Wrap this up? Because we are definitely
the
fastest
we're
30 minutes on the planet.
I know. Fastest 30 minutes on the planet. So thank you, Dawson Church, for being with us again. To reach him, Dawson Church.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. So awesome having him. And then Dawson Gift, let's see, is that what it was? What was it? DawsonGift.com,
yeah.
Awesome. So, and thanks, Rick, for another great show. Again,
thank you,
audience.
Jimmy. Thank
we'll
you, Dawson.
Catch you next time. Take care.
Excellent. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.